Amen. God bless you, Brother Chris. Thank you, choir, and accompany us. Brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you to do something this afternoon, as all of you will be wondering, what should I be doing today since the Cowboys aren't playing? Let me encourage you to take your bulletin and look at the titles of those songs we have just sung this morning. There were four of them. And whether or not you know it, you were taught some tremendous biblical truths this morning already, simply in the singing of those four songs. And so you can take your smart device, your laptop, whatever the case may be, Google the lyrics of those songs. I assure you, you will not be disappointed. Again, Brother Chris, God bless you. And thank you. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find John chapter 10 and verse 1. John chapter 10 and verse 1. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Jesus, Our Good, Good Shepherd. I'm so excited to share God's Word with you this morning, and specifically from John chapter 10. Can I also invite you at the same time to find Ezekiel chapter 34, John chapter 10 and Ezekiel chapter 34. As we look at John chapter 10 this morning and this truth that Jesus is our good, good shepherd, I want to remind you, if you were here last Sunday morning, you remember this. Jesus performed his sixth of seven miraculous signs in John chapter 9 by healing the man who was born blind. And Jesus is carrying on that conversation here in John chapter 10. So he's continuing to speak to the man that was born blind, but Jesus healed him. He's continuing to speak to the Pharisees who objected to Jesus healing the man born blind because he did it on a Sabbath. And as we think about John 10, Jesus is going to share with us A comparison that would have been very familiar to these first century hearers. A comparison that we might call a parable. A comparison that we might call an allegory. It is a story that has a broader and future application. And it's the story of the shepherd and his sheep. You see, these first century hearers would have been very familiar with that allegory. They were very well acquainted with the idea of a shepherd and his sheep. Do you remember that Abraham was a shepherd? And Isaac was a shepherd. And Jacob was a shepherd. And Moses was a shepherd. And King David was a shepherd. So this picture of a shepherd and his sheep is found all throughout the Old Testament. And so it is a picture, a story, a parable, an allegory, a comparison that would have been very familiar to these first century hearers. In John chapter 10, the story of Jesus, our good, good shepherd, should be read in light of Ezekiel 34. Let me read Ezekiel 34 before we look at John chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning in verse 1, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, this is Ezekiel, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds will feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them." Ezekiel 34 is in the background. And in the foreground is John chapter 10. And so if you have found John chapter 10 and verse 1, would you stand this morning if you are able in honor of God's word? If you'll remember in our study of Nehemiah, we saw the origin or the genesis of standing for the word of the Lord. And so we try to make it our practice here at Emory Baptist Church. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I received from the Father. Therefore, there was a division among them, the Jews, because of these sayings. And many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and thank you for your word to us this morning. Over these next few moments, Lord, would you give us the ability to clear our minds and focus our hearts upon you and what you want to say to us today. Lord, let us give you our undivided attention. And Lord, we pray that you would have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. As we think this morning about Jesus, our good shepherd. And this story, this allegory, this illustration, the sheep are the nation of Israel. Now, if you'll look ahead to verse 16 for just a moment, when he says, And other sheep I have are not of this fold, I believe that is a reference to Gentiles. And praise the Lord that Jesus is our good shepherd too. But these first century hearers were Jewish. And they were listening to a very familiar story. And scene one begins at night. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. First century shepherds would many times use the side of a hill or a cave to be the home and the pen of their shepherds, of their sheep overnight. And oftentimes there would be multiple flocks in the same pen. And at the very beginning of this allegory, we are introduced to the thief at the end of verse 1. The thief is one who does not enter the pen or the sheepfold through the door or through the gate, but secretly, deceptively, deviously climbs up some other way to escape the notice of the shepherd, for sure, to escape the notice of the hireling, the doorkeeper, anyone who would prevent them from accomplishing their goal. This thief and robber mentioned in verse 1, down in verse 5, is called a stranger. In verse 8, again, is called a thief and a robber. And in verse 10, we see the heart of the thief and the robber. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his goal, that is his purpose. That was his goal and purpose then. Brothers and sisters, it's his goal and purpose now. Now, John chapter 10, verse 10, does not explicitly refer to the devil, but everything that is true of the thief, the robber, the stranger, is also true of the devil. The devil is a thief, and he is a robber. And to those who are the sheep of God, he ought to be a stranger. And he does come to steal and kill and destroy. That's his desire for your life. If he cannot endanger your eternity, and he cannot, then he aims to make your life literally a living hell on earth. He wants to do that to you individually. He wants to do that to your marriage. He wants to do that to your business. He wants to do that to your family. He wants to do that to your physical health. Any other way that he can steal and kill and destroy, that's his goal, that's his aim, because he cannot endanger your eternity. He climbs up some other way. He is a thief. He is a robber. As we think about Jesus, our good, good shepherd, I want you to notice there in verses 2 and following that as our good, good shepherd, Jesus pastors us intimately. Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. And by the way, there in verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd. And then there in verse 11 and in verse 14, Jesus makes it absolutely clear that he is our shepherd. By the way, just as the Gospel of John is built around 7 miraculous signs, and we've seen 6 of them, the Gospel of John is also built around 7 I am statements. We've already heard Jesus say, I am the bread of life. And by the way, every time he made these statements, he was declaring, I am God. Unequivocally. There's no doubt. There's no debate. He was saying, I am God when he said, I am the bread of life. When he said, I am the light of the world. In today's text, we're actually going to see instances 3 and 4 of these I am statements, but we're going to look at them in reverse order. Next Sunday, we're going to look at his third I am statement, which actually comes in verses 7 through 9 when he says, I am the door. Or your translation may say, I am the gate. Now that may not mean much to us, 2022, almost 2023, Western Hemisphere. But it meant a lot to these first century hearers when he said, I am the door. And so next Sunday morning, I'm going to be specifically preaching John 10, 7 through 9. By the way, if you'll notice in your bulletin, next Sunday we've designated as Friend Day here at Emory Baptist Church. A high attendance Sunday in our Sunday school small groups and our Sunday morning worship. It is a tremendous opportunity for you to invite a neighbor, friend, loved one, co-worker who's not connected to the Lord, not connected to church, for them to hear that Jesus is the door and the invitation that he extends. So I hope you'll be back next Sunday morning and be sure to be at Sunday school at 9:15 and bring a friend with you. The fourth I am statement is this good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He says it in verse 11. He also says it in verse 14. But he first uses the word in verse 2. The shepherd is different than the thief, different from the robber. The thief or the robber climbs in another way, but the shepherd, on the other hand, enters by the door. And so now the scene has shifted quickly, almost in a moment's notice, from nighttime to to first thing in the morning. And the shepherd is going to go into the pen. He's going to go into the sheepfold. And he's going to gather his flock. But the tricky thing about that, as I said a moment ago, is that there are multiple flocks in the same pen. And so there's going to be multiple shepherds who go in through this door, and simultaneously they're going to be calling out their own sheep. You say, "Brother Richard, that sounds like herding cats." That may be a proper analogy. But yet it's nothing when the shepherd pastors his sheep intimately. Our word pastor, our English word pastor, comes from this word shepherd. And so that's why you will often hear and some people think about the pastor of the church as the shepherd or the under shepherd, the shepherd under the Lord Jesus, and shepherding his flock of sheep. Again, in verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper, and we're not exactly sure who Jesus has in mind here as the doorkeeper, but the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, I have never heard this personally. Some of you may have heard this personally. But the fact of the matter is that the sheep know specifically and personally and can differentiate the voice of their shepherd from the voice of other shepherds. Why? Because the shepherd pastors his sheep intimately. He talks to them. He names them. They have been following him for years. When they come into the pen at night, he's actively searching through their wool to take out the sticks and to take out the rocks and to take out the parasites that are harmful to the sheep. Verse 4 says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. He doesn't drive them. That's a Western phenomenon. He's not behind the sheep, driving the sheep. He's in front of the sheep, leading the sheep. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. How can they know his voice? Because he pastors them intimately. He knows about each one. He knows where they're hurt, where they're injured. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that Jesus is our good shepherd, pastors us intimately. He knows your name. He knows every detail about your life, the good and what we might consider the bad. And he pastors us anyway. And when we come into the sheepfold at night, he's there to bind up our wounds, to clean our wool, to feed us when we're hungry, and to know what concerns us the most, because he is our good shepherd. Not only does Jesus, as our good shepherd, pastor us intimately, but he also provides for us abundantly. He provides for us abundantly. Look at verse 10. Now, those first century hearers weren't exactly understanding all of what Jesus was saying. They were having a little bit of trouble following this illustration, is what verse 6 tells us. And so the rest of today's text is simply an explanation of this allegory. And as I mentioned, I'm not going to refer necessarily to verses 7 through 9 today. I'll simply read them again and refer to them more next week. But Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers." Now that wasn't talking about the Old Testament prophets. It was talking about the Old Testament false shepherds, the ones that we read about just a moment ago in Ezekiel 34. "But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door." And then listen to this invitation. This right here in verse 9 is why I hope and pray that you might bring a friend who's not connected to the Lord and not connected to a church next Sunday morning. Listen to this invitation in verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Send that text message. Make that phone call. Send that email. Talk to that coworker, that classmate. "Would you be my friend at Emory Baptist Church next Sunday morning? I'll sit with you. I'll wait for you. I'll even pick you up if you need a ride." But then in verse 10, a verse that we are very familiar with, perhaps we have even memorized it, the thief, and maybe while not explicitly referring to the devil, certainly applicable to the devil, does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. But listen to this. Listen to Jesus, our good shepherd. "I have come that they," my sheep, "may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." Now, certainly, Jesus is talking about eternal life here. He's talking about spiritual life here. He's talking about a home in heaven here. But he is also, I believe, brothers and sisters, talking about heaven on earth here. Now, I do need to say to you, I do not believe that what Jesus is saying here in John 10:10 is what the prosperity preachers and the prosperity gospel is about today. I don't believe that Jesus is necessarily saying that for all who are followers of Christ, "I will bless you financially, and you'll live in the biggest houses and drive the nicest cars." And see, brothers and sisters, that message doesn't serve the rest of the world very well if you're a follower of Christ. And if you can't apply it to the people of the Lord, not only where we live, but also on the other side of the world, we may have misunderstood the application. But what Jesus is saying, I believe here, is that yes, I have come to give you eternal spiritual life, but I've also come to give you a little bit of heaven on earth, life and life abundantly. And brothers and sisters, do you know how that is found? It is found when we are living our lives in the middle of God's will. It's found when we're living our lives in the middle of God's will as husbands and as wives and as parents and as children and as employers and employees, and how we spend our money and how we spend our time. And it has very little to do with the almighty American dollar. But I believe it has everything to do with Jesus Christ giving you the greatest fulfillment and satisfaction and purpose in your life, where you, when you can say, I am following God's will for me. And by the way, brothers and sisters, God's will never lead you contrary to God's word. But Jesus, as our good shepherd, pastors us intimately, provides for us abundantly, and then beginning there in verse 11, has paid for us sacrificially. In verse 11, Jesus reveals who is the good shepherd. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess. I am the good shepherd. And then watch this. This is the first time, but not the last time, he says the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Notice it again there in verse 15. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And then in verse 17, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And then in verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. You see, Jesus Christ in this allegory, in this story, foreshadowing the days to come in which he would lay down his life sacrificially, paying for my sin and your sin with his death on the cross. See, brothers and sisters, he paid for us because he knew we couldn't pay for ourselves. He did for us what was impossible for us to do. Verse 12 talks about a hireling. Again, hard to know exactly who he's talking about with the hireling, but the hireling is not the shepherd. The hireling is one who does not own the sheep, but he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. How does he know his sheep? Intimately. And I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Remember again, in that pen overnight, there are going to be multiple flocks. And first thing in the morning when the shepherds come through the door and they're calling out the sheep, there are this shepherd over here calling out his flock, and this shepherd over here calling out his flock. And while the original context points to the first sheep being the nation of Israel, but these other sheep being Gentiles, praise the Lord, I have other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You see, the people of God for all of eternity will include the church of the living God as well as the nation of Israel. But understand, brothers and sisters, both of those groups, the nation of Israel and the church of the living God, are going to be in heaven by only one way, and that is the name of the good shepherd. His name is Jesus. And we have one shepherd, verse 16 says. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life, and I may take it again, perhaps foreshadowing the resurrection. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. In other words, Jesus paid for us not forcefully, but sacrificially. He chose to do it. He chose to do it. He wasn't forced to do it. He says, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Our final few verses this morning, again, reveal to us that the first century hearers just simply had difficulty following. Perhaps it was because Jesus was not their shepherd. Their shepherd was actually a false shepherd, more like a thief, a robber, a stranger. But if you're here this morning and Jesus is your shepherd, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. He pastors us intimately. He provides for us abundantly, and he has paid for us sacrificially. Amen. But I need to leave you with an invitation. And this is going to sound very, very strange. And yet, it is completely biblical. There are some of you who are here this morning, and you're not sheep. You're goats. You're not a sheep. Jesus is not your shepherd. You're a goat. You're a spiritual goat. But the good news that I have for you this morning is that Jesus is ready, willing, and able to make you a sheep today. How in the world does that even happen? Great question. And I'd love to explain to you more about it. It starts with admitting that you're a sinner. Admitting that you and your sin fall woefully short of God's perfection. But yet believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place for your sin. And calling on the name of the Lord to save you. In just a few moments after I finish praying, I'm going to be standing here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be standing here at the front with me. We'd love to welcome you today. Love to help you think about more in transitioning. We talk a lot about transitioning today in our world. I'm inviting you today to transition from a goat to a sheep. And that's completely biblical. Maybe you want to formally and officially unite with Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome you this morning. We'd invite you to respond publicly to our invitation. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. We'd love for you to take that next step of obedience. Our invitation will be for you in just a moment. Before I pray, I'm going to invite you to do something with me. I hope and pray that it will be meaningful to you. If you are a sheep, I want to invite you to read with me Psalm 23. And we'll read it aloud, and then I'm going to pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that your Son Jesus is our good, good shepherd. And Father, for those within the sound of my voice this morning who are spiritual goats, and yet you are calling them to be faithful sheep. Continue to convict them of their lostness, even as we speak with your Spirit. Draw them unto you, giving them faith to believe and courage to confess you before men. Father, I pray that the Word of God and Jesus as our good shepherd has encouraged the sheep this morning in this room. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our good shepherd. Lord, we commit this invitation to you, trusting and asking for you to have your way in our midst. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently as Brother Chris comes to lead us? And we begin to sing. I'm going to invite you to respond publicly this morning on our very first stanza.